The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
This is Black Talk, Black Thought Live tonight, and we're talking about the Black leaders and what are they doing for you? Who are the Black leaders and what are they doing? Because I know Al Sharpton and everybody calls him Black leader. He has been quiet as a church mouse. All these things that have been going on, I guess they have just run him out of every city. He just can't come anywhere and talk anymore. After they ran him out of Chicago and Baltimore and Ferguson. Oh, my goodness. So, Delta, what do you have for us tonight? Bring us some hot topics. If you would like to call in and speak, dial 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. Access code 549-0032. Press the pound. And if you'd like to speak, press star 61. And we are live here at the Lotus Place, and we have Delta Cougar bringing us our hot topics. What's going on, Delta?
Yes, we have in Minneapolis, Minnesota, we got two hot stories coming from there. Mm-hmm. We got Kamalin. She's a lady. She's a Black lady, Kamalin. She was out at Applebee's, I think it was Applebee's, and she was eating dinner with her mother and some more family members. But when she ordered her meal, she spoke in English. And when she went to her table to sit down, where she's at her table sitting down, waiting on her food, her and her family to begin to speak in their native language. Uh-huh. And a white woman got up and approached her and told her, "Do not speak in that language." She told the lady, I know how to speak America, and I know my native language. And if I want to speak in my native language, I have the right to." The white lady began to argue with the lady and told the lady, "No, you in America, you would not speak in another language." So they began to argue. The white woman picked up a beer mug and hit the Somalian woman across her face. And when she hit her across her face, she split her face and lip open. And the young lady was a beautiful woman, had to get her face all sewn up and disfigured. Now, what right do you have to come and ask somebody to speak in America? To speak American, whatever way she wants to speak. America's supposed to be a free country. You're supposed to be able to speak any way you want to speak. And
okay, so wait a minute. Now, you're saying that this is a Somalian lady was sitting at a restaurant and then a white lady came over to her.
Yes, pull it up on the news, yes.
And it's she been all told on the lady CNN. That she, oh, it's even all on CNN.
Yes.
I hadn't even had the TV on today, period. But not that I even have CNN. But okay, and so the lady,
she just a total stranger. She didn't know the lady at all. She walked
so
over to the lady.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
So I'm just trying to get the story correct. And so the
okay,
Somalian
let me kind of slow it.
let me count. Can I start over again if you don't mind?
Okay.
Okay, yes. There was at Applebee's, I think it was Applebee's in Minneapolis, Minnesota. There was a black Somalian woman was sitting down eating dinner. And as she was sitting down eating, first when she ordered her meal, she spoke in English. Then when she didn't, when she went and sat at the table with her family, she began to speak in her native language. And as she began to speak in her native language, the white woman approached her, told her, do not speak in her native language. The lady told the Somalian lady told the white woman, which is a total stranger, the white woman is in there eating dinner just like she is. But the white woman got offended because the lady was speaking in her native language. She told the lady, you're in America, you don't speak that because we don't understand what you're saying. And we don't want you speaking that way. When you're in America, you speak English. The lady told the Somalian lady told the white woman, no, I'll speak any way I please. I know how to speak both languages. They began to argue. The white woman picked up a beer mug and took it and hit the black Somalian woman across the face and split her face open and disfigured her face. The black Somalian woman said that she'd been in America, in Minnesota, for 10 years. She said she have never had this to ever happen to her. And now she is so afraid for her family, for being in Minnesota, for even being in America, because she wore the Birkin thing, what you call on the head. She had her face cut, Birkin around her hair. And she said she was so afraid. And the white lady, this is not her first time. This is her second time. She looked like poor white trash. This is her second time for assaulting somebody, the newsman said. And also, she was arrested. Yes, she was. She was arrested. And it was, and this here also made Inside Edition. Even though it was on CNN, it came on Inside Edition too. It is a big story. Because the lady said the Somalians, they are fearing. They are fearing for their safety. And she said that she would have never thought this would happen in America, that she would be afraid to live in America. And she would be, you know, she's not able to speak her native language. What if she was saying that she was passing her custom down, her native language down, from generation to generation. It's not that she's being disrespectful. She is teaching her tribal language to her family, to her children, and it's being passed down. But the white woman told her no. Then also, you can pull that up, and then we'll go on to the next hot topic. I can't say the name. You may have to help me out, Black Rose, to do it. But on the Supreme Court,
Sonia Sotomayor.
Hispanic lady made judge. What's her name?
Sotomayor. Sotomayor.
That is correct. That's what I'm trying to say. Now, she made news today, and it's all over Facebook and on the news. They had a case that come out of Texas this year, out of Youngstown. Uh-huh. Where these policemen, they was doing a high-speed chase, and they shot this man. Well, first, let me back up. They was doing a high-speed chase. The sergeant request to one of the police officers, do not shoot. Let us put out the sticks that flatten the tires. And he told the man to bag back, told one of the officers to pull back, let the tie stick stop him. But the white officer said no, you know, just basically ignored him, and went and shot and made a stand and shot this man as he began to come. And the case made it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. But she dissented, Sotomayor, she dissented
And she said that, but she gave her written, you know how they do the written thing? Y'all got to help me out. I'm not all that, know how to do it like y'all. But she gave her written consent. And her dissent is, she felt like the police should have been charged with manslaughter. So that's a great step. Even though they disagreed with her and let the white officer went free, but now they saying people are seeing that it's a difference now. So they saying she saw the difference. She felt like this police officer should have been charged with murder, and he with manslaughter. She did not want him to go free. She wanted him to be charged. But Clarence Thomas and all the rest of them let him off the hook. But she felt like he should have been charged. So that's the number one great start right there. At least somebody taking notice. Somebody has sense enough to know that these police is getting out of hand. So that hit
okay,
the...
Okay, now I missed the first part. I was interrupted. Now, what case is this that she wrote her dissent on? I missed okay. that whole first part. I do apologize. I was interrupted.
Okay.
But what happened?
Okay, it was a police shooting in your state, in Texas.
In Texas, okay.
Okay, you have to pull it up while you're talking to me now, baby.
That's what I'm trying to do, yeah.
Okay, it happened in your state. They went to trial, and it made it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Sotomayor is, I'm saying it quite right, all the other judges wanted the police to go free. She felt like,
well, wanted them to go free on what? I mean, what was
for
the case?
Killing
what,
the man.
What happened?
For kill, okay,
what?
Because they was trying to, they took it all the way to the Supreme Court. They was trying to get him charged with murder.
Okay, so.
Whoever the family was that this man that was killed by the police officer in Texas, they pushed the case, and the case made it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. So, but this is what they was fighting about. They was fighting about should the police should have been charged with murder.
I think she just didn't hear the part about they were going to put out the spikes. His supervisor told him, let him put the spikes out to stop the car. And
That's
the police officer that shot him said, no, I'm going to shoot him. That was what she meant.
That is correct, Miss Hattie. That is exactly what I'm trying to say. So all the other Supreme Court judges let him go free. The family pushed the case. That's why it made it all the way. But the Sotomayor saying that he should have been charged with murder. Manslaughter. So, but what the people are saying, this is the first time that you have a judge of this high of a magnitude coming out and saying that police need to be charged. And this is what she's saying. They need to be charged on certain cases. They shouldn't be able to just get away. You got to put it up and read it. And that's basically what she's saying. That's why it's making the news. Because she's saying they really is getting away too much with murder. That's basically what she's saying.
Okay.
Okay, y'all have to pull it up. But that's basically what she's saying. They're getting away with murder. She's saying
okay. They're
getting away with it too much now.
Okay. Okay, so this is on the night of March 23rd, 2010, Trooper Chandran Mullenix of Texas Department of Public Safety stood on an overpass debating what to do. Israel Leah DeJah Jr., an allegedly armed and intoxicated fugitive, was fleeing the police in a high-speed chase a few miles away. Okay. So Mullenix's plan to set up spike strips, but as Lejar approached, Mullenix decided to shoot at his car instead, a tactic in which he had no training. His supervisor, Sergeant Robert Byrd, responded that Mullenix should stand by, okay, rather than shooting, and see if the spikes laid down on the road would work first. So he ignored that order and fired six shots at his car. The shots passed underneath, seconds before the vehicle hit the spike strip designed to stop it. Four other bullets penetrated Lijar's head, shoulders, and neck. Okay. And he was killed. Okay, so it's his mother that's filing the civil rights suit against Mullenix, alleging that the trooper violated her son's Fourth Amendment rights by using unreasonable force. And, okay. On Monday, however, the Supreme Court handed Mullenix a huge legal victory, holding that his actions did not violate clearly established constitutional law, granting him qualified immunity. The decision provides yet more evidence that the court's unreasonable force standard has been defamed to provide cover to reckless officers. The case also demonstrates that when it comes to understanding the systematic flaws and behavior, violent America's criminal justice system, there is no one quite like Justice Sonia Sotomayor. Okay. So every justice except for her, she was the one that dissented from the ruling, and Justice Anton Scalia, who independently concurred, appears to have joined the court's brief, unsigned decision granting Mullenix immunity.
Well, while we're on this, Loretta, U.S. Attorney General Lynch, has said that police departments shouldn't have to keep any kind of public records on the people that they shoot, murder, kill.
They should not have to keep any public records?
Right. Remember, Eric Holder said they need to keep clear records of that on the way out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so she's reversing that and saying, no, they don't need that. She's not concerned about the number of people they kill. She's concerned about the relationship of the police departments with the communities. And so basically what she's saying is the data's not going to make any difference in what she's going to do. Her thing is keep killing them niggas.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't tell the general public how many of them you're killing.
Loretta Lynch. All righty.
Then also one more hot pocket, please. We got another one coming from this Hattie state, the state of Minnesota.
Great
this has been all on the news. They have the preacher, and I know you probably heard about it, Miss Hattie, because it's all over the news. Been on Nancy Grace two or three times. They saying this minister, who is a young minister in his 30s, went to the gym and came back home, and all of a sudden his wife was murdered. And they praising, they saying that, oh, they, you know how they go on and on, but like, to me, I think they think somebody black broke in and killed her and all like this. But if you go on and just listen at the story, the husband goes to the gym early in the morning. But suddenly he come back home and somebody's supposed to be on broke in the house and shot his pregnant wife and killed her. Now, I have a disagreement with that because we had this case once before a while back where another prominent man and woman supposed to have been killed by break-in. A preacher, another preacher, his wife supposed to have been killed by somebody. But come to find out, she's supposed to have been accidentally drowned, and he came home and caught and found her in the tub dead. The preacher did. But come to find out, the preacher killed the woman and staged the accident to cover up his affair. And to me, this is what I kind of believe is going on right here. This, I get this feeling that he got up early in the morning, goes to the gym, and all of a sudden he comes back home and finds the wife dead. No, I don't believe that. I get the feeling that this preacher killed his wife, this white preacher. And they praising him like he's such a pillar in the community. And this the way this other white man was supposed to have been a pillar in the community. And he wind up drowning and killing his wife, they found out. So I believe, Miss Hattie, in your town, in the great old state of Minneapolis, Minnesota, I believe this young man killed his wife because he was having an affair. And I believe eventually it's going to come out. I do not believe nobody broke in. You go to the gym for an hour or two, and all of a sudden you come back, you got a dead wife. No, I don't believe that. White man.
And you so know they're not that, suspecting him or anything like that?
No, they're not suspecting him, but I am.
Hmm.
I just don't believe it. All of you're going to be gone for 2 hours, and all of a sudden you come back to white dead. No, come on now. This done played out, y'all, too many times before.
Well, I mean, people do it all the time for the insurance money. So, I mean, it's not like it hasn't happened. It possibly very well could. I mean, they could just follow the money and see if there was an update or upgrade in the insurance policy. Who has he been around? They could do some tracing and investigating it. And, you know, it may come out that he possibly did have an affair.
And then, you know, that's just what I believe. And then also about this Reverend Al Sharpton, he is solid. You don't hear nothing out of him, nothing about none of the movement or anything. He just got his mouth silent. Like, you don't even know he exists anymore. You don't even hardly see him on TV or anything talking about anything anymore. You always see Jamal, what is his name? The preacher?
Jamal Bryant.
You see him now out there. You don't even see Reverend Al Sharpton anymore. Ain't nobody even calling him or paying him any attention anymore.
Well,
you don't
Jamal
see him
Bryant,
out there. You don't see him out there anymore.
Well, Jamal Bryant, he's still, I believe, attached to Al Sharpton. So Al Sharpton's days are numbered anyway. He's played out. Nobody's paying him any attention. So do you think, because I know that you were kind of interested in Jamal Bryant, do you think that Jamal Bryant is like the new black leader?
I think he's getting out there. I believe he's trying to be. I believe if you pay any attention now, just about every time you look up when something happens, just about you see him out there saying something. You see him out there being a leader. Trotwell wants to be the leader. And Jesse Jackson is gone. You don't even see him no more. I think we all should become leaders. All of us. We don't need nobody I can't say we don't need nobody to lead. I guess you always got to have a leader. But we all can come together as one and on our calls I guess we do need a leader. I'm debating it in my mind. I guess we do in a sense, but I don't know who will we get. Once you get one, they all sell you out.
Yeah, that's why it doesn't need to just be one leader. We all need to take on different leadership.
Because they'll sell you out in a minute. You don't. They go to flashing the money before them, they'll sell you out.
Right. So that's why one leader wouldn't work. Because in any way, one leader cannot encompass all of the attributes that we need in terms of somebody that can really lead us to wherever we're trying to make it to, this fantasy land, what do they call it? This euphoric place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I just was thinking as you was talking, but I guess you do have to have somebody to spearhead it, I guess, because I thought about Dr. Martin Luther King. He was so
great.
Well,
look what happened to him. I mean, but look, but no.
I know.
Let me say this now. But a lot of times we give Dr. King too much credit. He was not the leader. He was one of the speakers. He was forced out front to be the preacher, to come out and lead some of the marches. But there were several other people that were there, Shuttlesworth, Bernard Rustin. There were so many other brothers that were actually strategizing. Martin Luther King is the face that was out front. He wasn't like the leader that came up with all of this. He didn't even want to come out and do none of this stuff. They pretty much had to force Dr. King and push him out there to get out and stand up for the people.
Once he got out there, he was out there.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it's never just one person that's coming up with all of these ideas, coming up with all of these strategies for marches. Everybody has a group, just like us. Like us on the radio, we all have our group. We all come up, we all strategize. And we don't agree on everything, but we can agree to try to strategize and work together on something. So what I'm saying is Dr. King had other people around him, just like President Obama. He don't come up with all of these ideas. That's why presidents have what they call a cabinet. And these people that specialize in different areas, they give their opinions and advice and all of that. And then the decisions are made in the war room. So it's never just one person that's coming up with everything. So that's why I think we all have to put our ideas on the tables, our plans. We work them out. We look at them. And then we see, okay, this is feasible. This is not. We can do this. We probably should do this right now. We can do this in 10 years. And all of that. So I just think that it just takes a number of us working together. Now, I want to pick back up because August sent me a text after the break. I want to pick back up on some of the things that you all spoke about, some action plans from the conversation on Friday, because you know, I missed quite a bit because I was traveling on the road and my phone kept going in and out. So after the break, I want to touch on that Somalian woman that you spoke about in your hot news topic, your first hot news topic.
Yeah, can you pull it up?
Okay, I'll pull that up. So let's take a quick break and we'll come right back.
Are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, so I'm trying to pull up this story. Applebee's.
Okay, and that happened in Miss Hattie Town. Miss Hattie, you hadn't heard nothing about that story?
No, I have not.
It's been all on the news about the Somalian woman in Minnesota.
Is it on Facebook too?
The first place I saw it is on the news. Well, I saw it on my Facebook. Then it made CNN. Then after it left CNN, it made Inside Edition.
Okay, so she says, she states that she is afraid.
What
life.
Part of Minnesota? What part of Minnesota did this happen so we can tell Miss Hattie?
Okay, let's see. Well, she was at a Coon Rapids Applebee's. Damn, I wouldn't even want to go there at Coon Rapids. a summer drummer was sitting at Coon Rapids Applebee's.
No, that's the town, Coon Rapids, Miss Hattie. You heard of that one?
It's a suburb, a northern suburb.
Okay. Let's see. She was chatting with her family. Okay. And a few minutes. Let me see. Okay. She was waiting for her pasta Alfredo, and a woman at a nearby booth smashed a beer mug in her face. She was speaking Swahili with her family. Okay. So it seems like right here that they didn't have an argument, but the lady just came and smashed her in the face.
Well, that's not what the Somalian woman said. The Somalian woman said on the news, the white lady walked over to her and told her to stop speaking that language. She was in America. Mm-hmm. And the lady told the Somalian woman, said she told the white woman, I have a right to, this is America. I have a right to speak whatever I want to. And she also said she referred to the lady and told the lady she knew how to speak both languages. The lady told her, when you in America, you speak America. You do not speak in another language. And the lady said, her and the lady began to argue. And the lady said the white woman picked up a beer mug because the lady said she would not stop speaking her language. And the white woman picked up a mug and hit her. Now, see, they ain't put all that on there, but that's what the white, that's what the black woman said on TV.
Ah. She says she's thinking about moving out of Minnesota. So they sent all those Somalis and Sudanese people up there.
No, they sent themselves.
Is there a large Sudanese population there in Minnesota, Mother Hattie?
Yes.
So it's Sudanese and Somali up there?
Yep, Mexican, Vietnamese.
So Miss Hattie, I seen a bunch of them Somalians. I've seen that many Mexicans and Japanese. I seen more of them Somalians. They like
I didn't
animals.
Say Japanese, honey. I said.
Okay, well, them Somalians just like a pile of ants all over the place. Now, I'm not going
to
lie.
That's not a very nice thing to say, Mother Dunning.
I know.
Miss Hattie, I'm
saying. No, don't do that. Don't talk like that.
Well, Lord forgive me, but I'm going to be honest, Miss Hattie. Now, I got to speak my mind. This is what I show about. We all speak our opinions.
No, but that's kind of, anyway, go on. But,
okay,
yeah, not a pile
well.
Of ants. You don't compare
me.
People
forgive
to
me.
Ants.
Forgive
yeah.
me, Lord. I didn't mean it.
Yeah.
God, forgive me.
Did you go to church today?
Am.
Because I tell you now, if you went to church today and you come back talking like that, now, see, that's the problem I have with church, because you shouldn't even be coming back.
I just said, but
talking
now listen,
like that.
I just said, ask the Lord to forgive me.
Yeah.
But now yeah. I am, now I'm going to be honest. Ain't no need of me lying and pretending. I am afraid of them.
Afraid
of who? Who are you afraid
because
of?
I be scared they're going to throw a bomb.
Oh.
Oh, my God. You got to be kidding. You be kidding
you got,
me, right?
Let me tell you who you best be afraid of. You better be afraid of that Ku Klux Klan running around Mississippi over there, big, tough, and having they mean. You better be afraid of them Nazis.
And why do you think that the Somalis would throw a bomb? Is it because America keeps trying to go over there and throw bombs at them, and the Italians went over there and tried to enslave them, and they were fighting back? Is it because of Black Hawk Down when America went over there and tried to bomb all of those people and the Somalis were fighting back? Is that why you're afraid that the Somalis are going to throw a bomb?
Who told you to be afraid of Somali people?
Right.
Well, they are setting off these bombs in America.
And America's
really?
Setting off a lot of bombs everywhere. And somebody knows Somali's setting off no bombs over here in America, Mother Donnie. Where do you get that from?
Where is come that coming?
And then furthermore, you got to ask yourself, why are the Somalis trying, if they are throwing bombs, why? You got to go back and read the history of Somalia and Ethiopia before you make those blanket statements like that, Mother Dunning, of Somalian people, because Somalian people have been defending themselves for centuries against attacks from the Italians and from over here in America. America always wants... Watch Black Hawk Down. Pull it up on your Netflix and watch that film. Or just YouTube, you know, some Somali.
Okay,
history.
I'll get it and watch it. I'll get it.
Yeah, because to say that they're running around like ants,
well,
America
sorry,
sent troops
mean
over there
anybody,
and they're running around
I mean
like killers.
That,
and they
I'm
are
sorry,
killing them.
I didn't mean it like that, but I meant that when I came to Minnesota, I saw a whole bunch of them. A whole lot of them.
Mrs. Dunning. Every culture, every culture in this town pretty much has their section of town. If you go, it starts at about First Avenue and it goes all the way over probably about 30 blocks. There's nothing there but Hispanic businesses. You have a lot of Hispanic businesses here. You have, the Vietnamese used to have business. Then you have the big Chinese businesses here. You have the Somali people have a mall, two or three all over the city. But I'm going to tell you, African American people,
descendants of slaves have nothing here, no business, not even a restaurant anymore. And so when you said you saw a lot of Somali people, and then, of course, you have your European businesses, of course, the people are doing well here. The different cultures are doing well. The Mexican, Spanish-speaking cultures have a whole big community. It's just amazing. Amazing.
But why the black people are not doing well? Why?
That's a very good question. It's very, very complicated.
It's very, very complicated. And that was
one of the reasons, I'm going to lay it out to you. One of the reasons is this. The system is set up to keep black people ignorant, to keep black people out of the business sector with a bunch of paperwork. The systems are set up to keep black people enslaved with stereotypical mindset, and black people will not unify and help each other out. And so it's like it comes at you from all different angles, and black people just won't support each other and unite. They're too busy. They spend a lot of energy here, I think, tearing other ones down, other black people and other cultures, because some of the children believe, oh, the Mexicans and the Somalis, they get this and they get that and they get the other and da-da-da-da-da. Why waste your time on what other people get, and why don't you just go do something for yourself? Try to do something for yourself. So they create this situation. They, meaning the powers that be, create situations to pit different cultures, people of color, against each other. And that's probably not the only reason either. But those are just some of the reasons. It's gotten to be very complex.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. So there are a number of reasons, and it's all by design. And then we have to remember, too, we came here under completely different circumstances. Some of
than
us,
any of them,
ours.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We are their eyesore.
Yeah.
We are their shame, and they want you wiped off the face of the earth so they don't have the shame and pretend like they're good people.
Mm-hmm. It's not that we can't do it or don't want to have our own businesses. And as Mother Hattie mentioned once before, when we have had our own sections of different towns like Black Wall Street in different areas, not just in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we were attacked, bombed, ran out of town, stripped us of everything. So
that's who you best be afraid of, those people, not the Somali people.
Yeah, I'm not worried about no Somalis throwing no bombs on me. I'm worried about these white folks. Like you were talking about, this little girl is afraid. And this woman here in Somali, the Somali woman in Minnesota saying that she's afraid. I have to go back to what Scotty mentioned the other day. We gotta stop sitting here talking about I'm afraid and I'm gonna hide up under my bed. You better get your gun and you better be ready to fight these people. You better go get you some martial arts classes and learn how to darn fight and stop sitting here running around and hiding. That don't even
Whoa. Well, what about that little girl? Do we have that little girl's contact info that needed help in Missouri, Columbia, Missouri?
Okay,
from Facebook, Mother Dunning.
Let's pick up on our action plan. So what was that story all about and what's going on? Where are we with that?
I sent a text. I sent it to you. I sent it to Ms. Hattie's phone. I sent it to a sheer phone. I sent it to everybody's phone, her contact, her video. But I sent her like a post through Facebook because that's the only way you can reach her.
Right. So we don't have her contact information yet.
No. I sent it.
Do we have her name? Do we have her name?
No. Can I? You want me to go pull it up real fast?
Did you send it? Did you send it to us?
Yeah, I sent y'all the video.
Okay, now, I did watch the video, but I mean, it didn't have, there was like no contact information for her.
Well, I was just saying her name, her name. If we had her name, that's all we need is her name. Her name was on the video?
Yeah, her name is on her on that video. I sent that Facebook and stuff. And I sent her a message and I told her to call us.
Okay, yeah, her name is Ariel. Well, is this her? Okay, Ariel Levine Makira Barrett.
Can you just send that spelling of that name? Text me just the name. I don't want to see nothing but her name. I could probably track her down just with her name there.
Let me text it to you right now. I'll text it to the phone that you're calling from.
Mm-hmm. Did you send her a message this year through Facebook or you didn't either?
No,
see, I sent it through Facebook.
Okay. And I don't know. Who do they have now as a replacement there? Because I got balled out. I got balled out yesterday by a black nationalist saying, well, be careful. Don't get involved in that because if it's a black man there now who's doing president now, I said, I don't know who's there now, but I really could care less whether he's black, white, green, blue, or purple. This didn't just start today, yesterday, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 50 years ago. Time's out for talking. You got to do just what the man from Hawaii said. You got to file some paperwork at least. Like Scotty said, bullying plus some other kind of restraining stuff on people when they're doing things like that.
Absolutely. I just texted you her number, Ariel Barrett.
So her name is fine.
Yes, I sent that to your phone.
Okay.
And if anybody knows
track
her, we want to track
wonder
her.
Wonder if she was so, wonder where she's from.
You know, I want to say when I listened to that video, it seemed like she said that she was from that area, from the St. Louis area, I think. I'll have to listen to the video again. And so now we want to track her down, and what's our action with her?
Our action with her is to guide her into filing this bullying thing that Scotty talked about that he pulled up and to help her figure out how to go and file some restraining order on whoever it is that's terrorizing them. If you want to name this, how does she know it's the Ku Klux Klan is what the people were asking me. I said, I don't know, but I tell you what, if they're operating over there, which many are, if they're identifying themselves as a Ku Klux Klan, then that's who she could file it on. A restraining order.
If you're listening, could you share that bullying piece that Mother Hattie is speaking of? And then
it's all over the government system. Bullying.gov. It's
okay.
It's easy to find. Just pull it up.
Okay.
No, it's
I know
no
even in the school system there is a there's some policies against bullying that references the student bullying as well as, say, like administrative bullying teachers.
Right, and then there's like a retaliation. There's a retaliation deal that they could do because you're going to retaliate on us now. And see, that's what they're going to do. They're going to retaliate on those young people and try to kick them out of school, put them under a lot of stress so they won't finish now, and they'll be rid of the troublemakers, so to speak. And that's where I think we do have to be supportive of those young people in some kind of way. Let them know that, yeah, we're out here. Some other people are out here. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So I like that, an action piece to contact, because some of these students, they just may not be aware that there are people that want to assist them and can assist them. Not even just the students, some of these adults need to know what direction that people need to take. And like you said, stop all this talking and pontification and all this pontifying, and let's get down to filing some paperwork and changing some of these laws and policies. I was listening to the radio broadcast prior to the Lotus Place Lotus Place is broadcast on Black Talk Radio, and Scotty and the sister were talking about Mamiya, how Mamiya is being denied his medical care, and not just him, so many of these other political prisoners. And that needs to be changed. These people, they should be able to receive their medication. I don't care what kind of crime you're holding them for, but they need to be able to receive their medication if they are ill. That's what the taxpayers' dollars are paid for. I thought we're supposed to be providing things for these prisoners. I know some of them are private, but I thought that they were supposed to have access to medical care. These state-run prisons, I thought that they were supposed to be able to receive whatever type of medical treatment it is. And so it's medical apartheid, medical genocide, anything, all of that, when they're denying these people their right to medical care. So that's another concern as well. I hate that a lot of these prisoners, they're trapped in these buildings where they know hepatitis is running around. The food is no good. People are going into prison and coming out sick and dying 2 days after they release them because they're so ill from the food, from the conditions of the prison. I remember when someone told me years ago about the CO job, correction officer jobs in the jail. Oh, they pay X amount. I said, I wouldn't care what they pay, because when I'm in that jail working, then it's just like I'm locked down like a prisoner. And then I got to deal with all of that mess, and then I'm just not getting ready to be the arm of the state like that, trying to control some people that they decided they want to lock up on whatever stupid charge, something like a dumb drug charge and all of that mess. I'm not interested in anything like that. I'm not interested in controlling people. I'm not like that. So let me see. Somebody sending me a message. Eric Shepard. Who is Eric Shepard? Why don't you come on? Let me open up your mic so you can tell us about Eric Shepard, because I'm not familiar with Eric Shepard. So I really want you to just come on and tell us about this Eric Shepard person, and maybe we can have a discussion around him. So Delta, what about the what happened in France over the weekend with the simultaneous attacks? You have any updates for us on that? Delta. Yeah, she must be trying to work her Facebook, and try to find out something for us. Okay, Delta, so when you pop back online, let us know, because I know it's difficult for you to multitask on that iPhone, do your Facebook and talk on it. So when you get back with us, all right. Well, Mother Hattie, you have any topics for us tonight? Hot topics in the news? Oh, maybe I can't be heard. Hello? Can I be heard?
What'd you say?
Hello? Okay. I think my call must have gone blank for a second because my line was ringing.
It did sound like it did.
Oh, okay. I know. I was just talking away. Is Delta still with us? I asked her about the attacks in France. Delta? Delta. My Lord.
It might be technical difficulty. Sometimes these lines just slip off and they can hear you, but you can't hear them. So.
Okay. Well, what do you think about the attacks in Paris that happened over the weekend?
It's a terrible thing, but it's happening all over the world.
Yes,
you can't keep going around causing hell all over the world and blowing up everybody and think it's not going to come back.
This is true. And I think maybe like a few days ago, there were like hundreds of Nigerians that were killed. And I don't think that like really made national news. I don't think.
Right. Well, you know, that was what someone was saying the other day. They were talking about, they were saying there was a lot of people in the Middle East that were killed, and that didn't make the national news. And here again, white life is more valuable than people of color.
Yeah, and so, and that's comparable to how European deal with the two black cops that killed this little young white boy. And I mean, they were like immediately arrested and all of this. And I mean, it takes forever to even want it for some of these cops to be brought up on charges.
Okay, now
you're back with us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, Ashir, you talking about the ones that was immediately arrested down in Louisiana?
Yes.
Okay. Now, see, y'all may not want to hear my opinion, but can I talk on that one?
You can talk on anything you want to talk about.
Okay. Well, they should have been arrested. And I don't feel sorry for him, for them. Because one of them, he was just back here a year ago, was charged with two rapes, not one, and they got thrown out some kind of way. Then come to find out, the reason they all his stuff is getting thrown out, his daddy was just the attorney's office.
And well, isn't that the same thing that happened down in Ferguson, the district attorney,
Ohio?
Yeah, that's how they roll.
Well, so I'm not saying that the two cops should not have been arrested. Yes, they should. But what I'm saying is, then you should have arrested what's his name, Patanio, or whatever his name is, that choked Eric Garner to death, also because he had pending charges.
Exactly. That's the only thing. They all ought to be gone.
Yeah, and this guy that killed Tamir Rice, he had already been fired and deemed unfit to work. So all I'm saying is you rush to arrest the black cops, just like that black cop that, what, kicked that man or hit him or something. And then
hit him with the billy club.
And then he was arrested on a felony. But then Darren Wilson goes and kills Mike Brown, and he's not arrested. So all I'm saying is if you're going to arrest the black cop, if you're going to arrest some cops for killing somebody, then you need to arrest all of them. Don't just arrest these black cops when they kill a white boy. That's what I'm saying. But
just because they're arrested, they may not even go nowhere, though. That's the problem. They arrest them, but they don't do no time, none of them.
So this is true. That's why these cases need to be followed through. We still need to put pressure on them. Even after they're arrested, don't just give up the fight. Like, I was so upset when those six cops were finally arrested for the Freddie Gray murder, and then Baltimore wants to have a big parade and party and all that. No, this is not over. They're going to be out on bond in a few hours, so it's still not over. You still keep the pressure up. And we just get so excited when somebody gets
arrested. Well, and here again, why weren't the white ones arrested that was involved in that? They were the ones that drug him in. All the ones that arrested were the black cops.
I guess y'all said I ain't in this. But you know, I'm just speaking the truth now.
No, I mean, I agree with you that they should have been arrested. I'm just saying this is a
Use the same letter of the law for all of them. That's all we're saying. We don't. If it's wrong to go around doing that.
Mm-hmm. Nobody should be going around killing, should just shooting up in cars, resulting in people being killed. Nobody should do that. Just like the case that you were just speaking of, that shouldn't happen. So these people should be arrested, as Sotomayor stated in her dissent. Don't just allow this to happen like that. People can't just go around shooting in people's cars. There are other ways to talk down a person. I think it's Canada, places like Canada and somewhere else. I think Germany, they have like one or two shootings a year, supposedly, that result in someone being shot, police officers shooting someone or killing somebody. They have very few in comparison to ours here in the United States. So that's all of that killing, just shoot first and then deal with the consequences later stuff here in America, that needs to go. That's horrible. That's so inhumane that you would just so quickly want to take somebody's life. Oh, well, they running away, so let me shoot and kill them. What? No, they should go to jail for killing somebody. That's murder. No. So I'm not disagreeing with you about those cops. Yes, they were wrong. I'm just saying when it's a little white boy, then they're quick and swift with the justice. But when it's a black child, then they're very delayed in their actions. Don't even look how people had to protest for Mike Brown in order for that shit to even go to some charges. And anybody else, Freddie Gray. I mean, so many people. And then like the little poor little boy down in Louisiana, what's his name, Victor Wright. I hadn't heard anything about any of that. And this little boy was sitting in the back of the car, and there's many cases like that, sitting in the back of the police car, and then you all of a sudden dead with your hands cuffed. Come on now. This should be easy. That should be an easy case to fight.
And say it then. Yeah, prosecutor, what was it? The medical examiner said he committed suicide. He shot himself in the chest with his hands cuffed backwards. Wow.
Right. Oh, let me bring in King B. Welcome in, King
hey.
B. How are you?
Hey, I am mad like you all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, if a cop is involved in shooting someone, they have 48 hours before they talk to the supervisor to explain why you shot the person. Now, any lawyer would tell you, if you have 48 hours before you have to answer to authorities why you shot someone, that subverts the court system, because you can get your lies, alibis, and witnesses intimidated, all kinds of stuff you can do to prove you are innocent of the charges. Now, most prosecutors, a universal thing in this country, do not put a cop away. You watch the station, those two black cops who shot that autistic young boy. You watch what happened to that case. One of them, his father, is a prosecutor. Next. And the connections for having the right connections to get over. It's just the fact that the justice system in this country is really an injustice system. It's only justice for white folks, and blacks can just forget it. And if you have a social parasite or a lawyer like Mr. Trump, forget about it. Only thing you're going to be getting is Mr. Trump, as far as I come, is a financial settlement out of court.
That's it. Let's take a quick break, Candy, and we're going to come right back with you, right back up with you and your statement. You're listening to The Lotus Place, and we'll take a quick break and be right back.
Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
All right, and we are back here at the Lotus Place tonight on this Sunday night, and it is Black Salt Live, talking about black leaders and what have they done for you, what is going on here in the world. We're talking about a little bit of everything, just a little hodgepodge, the Somalian woman being attacked in Applebee's by some white lady that didn't want her to speak her own language, her native tongue, Somalian. And what else are we talking about, Delta? Well, right now we're talking about the double justice system that, whereas black people, we just don't receive our justice. If you kill a black person, you got to fight for them to want to bring those cops up on some charges. But if you go and kill a little white boy, oh Lord, you're going to jail tomorrow. So we need the same justice system, but you cannot get justice in this system.
And them two police.
These people. Uh-huh.
The two police over in Louisiana, and they had a black woman on TV. Now, this is what she said. You can pull it up. She said that everybody in the community, everybody in this town and in this community knew these two police, and they were known for terrorizing the community. And they couldn't, did nobody stop them, did nobody put them away. Said they was always going around into something and had people afraid of them. And they was in all type of corruption. And then they said they said their record was so bad, they don't even know how they became policemen because the records were so bad.
You talking about just like those ones over there in Ferguson that came out of that other little town to work for Ferguson, and they had done the same things over there, terrorized that community of blacks?
That's right, Miss Hattie. That is right.
Well, it seems that we got a bunch of psychopaths, sociopaths on police departments across this nation.
That's right.
Got sociopaths. A lot of them.
And the idea that they are able to get away with it because we don't have leadership with the audacity to fight for justice, be there in the pulpit or elected officials, which I really call elected officials, because we don't know who's in the back room that decide who is the one that's going to be selected for us to vote for. And black people are told to vote for this person. We don't make any demands. And it ends up where the person that looked like us just get to become re-elected, and they do not do anything except gain seniority, get a political promotion for some of them. I know two of them that are black in this city of New York. They were once to become mayor, and their record has been a dismal disgrace in fighting for justice for black and poor people, especially blacks. You know, I'm sick and tired of saying blacks and Latinos when Latinos, they don't really fight for blacks, including when they be dealing with fighting for justice. They just want to talk about, they use blacks, but they don't really care about social condition that we are one people dealing with a common goal. It's not on their agenda. So, when do we face the fact that in this government, there was never a chance that blacks were considered human beings? We're the only ethnic group that is defamed in the Constitution, and there's never been a move by the so-called Congressional Black Caucus to have in the Constitution where it says we are 3/5 to have it amended. It still says that we are 3/5. And there has never been an understanding when were we officially made citizens of this country. President Ulysses S. Grant came into pressure he was supposed to sign into law with the seal with the President of the United States that blacks were to be in full citizenship. And he received angry telegrams, letters demanding he did not give blacks equal rights as citizens of this country. We got a Civil Rights Act. A Voting Rights Act. But listen, y'all, an act is temporary. It has to be voted on every 25 years. Now, if you are a citizen, there has to be act. It's supposed to be perpetual. They didn't say a civil rights bill or voting rights bill, which would have been perpetual. No. They gave us an act. So now we're dealing with insult to our intelligence, and we don't have leadership to help us connect the dots. And when we do have those kind of leaders, we let the system take them out. You have a lawyer like Arthur Maddox. He's kicked out of the courtroom, and he violated no law, never filed, held in contempt of court, but yet, because he was too black, too strong, and was using their own laws, the Constitution, he's kicked out of the courtroom. Not a mumbling word from the National Black Bar Association. Not a word from the leading black pastors or clergy or politicians. For all these years, the Tawana Rowling case is far from settled. And we go about our business as usual. And, you know, we're salivating. People just can't wait to vote for Hillary. And there's been no concession demands made by the so-called black leadership to demand what we want Hillary to do for us. So, and we're going to think that she's going to make us become the bride rather than the bridesmaid. You know, like with friends like the Clintons, black folks don't need any enemies.
Well, you know, Cantor, there are a lot of people that are going to vote for Hillary, in particular black people. They stand behind her.
That's it. And you see, they don't understand, well, what is her track record? What is her husband's track record? When you see what they're doing in Haiti, down to the bank of the land, and got Haitians working like slaves tilling the land, and then you get in downtown, in Port-au-Prince, the capital, and they built two skyscraper hotels. And yet there's no accountability. What happened to the money that's supposed to be raised that Bill Clinton and George W. were supposed to do in housing for those victims of the so-called earthquake? I mean, it is just an abomination how this is going on. And, you know, our people are so deaf, dumb, and blind. Someone had talked a while back. She said we ought to be impeached for being deaf, so deaf, dumb, and blind. I mean, we go about like zombies, and we're being set up for the kill.
Well, Cantor, what are your thoughts on what happened in France? The
Yeah, funny thing you should ask. I always have to go to the genesis of the problem. France, England, America have a litany of stuff that they have done around the world, and black people will not want to recall how France was involved with enslaving people in Africa, Haiti, and when they lost the revolution in Haiti, they made the freedom fighters pay for the compensation of the loss of their slaves 150,000 francs in gold to make sure they get their money. They formed a blockade. Thomas Jefferson, the president at the time, seeing his slaves doing the same thing, he formed an embargo. And we wonder why in the Western Hemisphere, Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Haiti never recovered from the loss of money that they had to give France and then America. The French people don't understand that. If you saw the film, The Battle of Algiers, it tells you what they did to people of color in Algeria. That was blown up. People were tortured. People were brutally killed. We're talking about France has had a litany of stuff. And then you see, as long as France is involved with America to destroy innocent people like the people in Afghanistan, in Syria. I mean, like, when are we going to understand that when they get attacked? I mean, yes, it was an atrocity, yes, in Paris. But what about the atrocity in Afghanistan? The atrocities in Iraq, the atrocities in Vietnam. The French was in Vietnam before America came in there, and America told them, the French, move over. We'll show you how you deal with these people. And all this time, there was protest against the war in Vietnam. I was one of the protesters involved in that horrible racist war. And I refused to go into Vietnam, and I was able to get a deferment. But we're talking about all this time, France has never been held accountable for atrocities it has committed, and it's still committing in Africa, in Haiti. Okay. So when they get the big payback, see, the big payback can be very painful. And they can try to blues all they want. I mean, the media is browbeating you and say, oh, it's so shame, so barbaric what they did to this Paris. But what about the barbarism that France heaped upon people in nations of color, Africa in particular, the way you have to pay France to go out of way out of the way before you can go from one African nation to another African nation, how you have to fly out of your way. Dr. Short always mentioned the details of how France kept people going out of the way to get to one destination, but it's French territory. And the tragedy going on still in Haiti. When the big payback comes, they can cry and all kinds of horrors they have to talk about. But listen, if you don't want to deal with your white supremacy mentality, your Zionist mentality, there's a time when people begin to say they become desperate. And they do desperate things because they're tired of the bull. So there will be more attacks. You can't kill an idea. The bleeding headlines in today's Sunday Daily News saying, wipe out ISIL now.
Yeah. And you know what? I think I read today that Charlie Hebdo paper, and y'all remember Charlie Hebdo paper that was attacked. Just a few weeks ago, when that Russian plane attack happened and all that, they had this little news briefing that Charlie Hebdo paper mocking the plane crash. So, and now let me read this little quick article right here. 14 African countries forced by France to pay colonial tax for the benefits of slavery and colonization. When Sekou Touré of Guinea decided in 1958 to get out of French colonial empire and opted for the country's independence, the French colonial elite in Paris got so furious, and in a historic act of fury, the French administration in Guinea destroyed everything in the country which represented what they called the benefits from French colonization. 3,000 French left the country, taking all their property and destroying anything that which could not be moved. Schools, nurseries, public administration buildings were crumbled. Cars, books, medicine, research institute instruments, tractors were crushed and sabotaged. Horses, cows, and the farms were killed. And food and warehouses were burned. Or poisoned. The purpose of this outrageous act was to send a clear message to all other colonies that the consequences for rejecting France would be very high.
Imagine that.
Fear spread through the African elite, and none after the Guinea events ever found the courage to follow the example led by Touré, whose slogan was, "We prefer freedom in poverty to opulence in slavery." He didn't want his country to continue to be a French dominion. Therefore, he refused to sign the Colonization Continuation Pact de Gaulle proposed, but agreed to pay an annual debt to France for the so-called benefits Togo got from French colonization. It was the only conditions for the French not to destroy the country before leaving. However, the amount estimated by France was so big that the reimbursement of the so-called colonial debt was close to 40% of the country's budget in 1963. The financial situation of the newly independent Togo was very unstable. So in order to get out of the situation, Olympia decided to get out of the French colonial money, FCFA, which is the franc for French African colonies, and issued the country's own currency. On January 13, 1963, 3 days after he started printing his country's own currency, a squad of illiterate soldiers backed by France killed the first elected president of newly independent Africa. Olympia was killed by an ex-French Foreign Legionnaire Army sergeant who was supposedly to receive a bounty of $612 from the local French embassy for a hitman job. On June 30, 1962, Modiba Keita, the first president of the Republic of Mali, decided to withdraw from the French colonial currency, which was imposed on 12 newly independent African countries. For the Malian president, who was leaning more to a socialist economy, it was clear the colonization continuation pact with France was a trap. On November 19, 1968, Olympia Keita will be the victim of a coup carried out by another ex-French Foreign Legionnaire. Let's see. In fact, during that turbulent period of African fighting to liberate themselves from European colonization, France would repeatedly use many ex-Foreign Legionnaires to carry out coups against elected presidents.
Iris Marquise.
On January 16th, Jean Bidel Bakassa, an ex-French Foreign Legionnaire, carried a coup against David Dacko, the first president of the Central Africa Republic. On January 3rd, 1966, Maurice Shimango, the first president of the Republic of Upper Volta, now called Burkina Faso, was a victim of a coup carried out by Lamezina, an ex-French legionnaire who fought with the French troops in Indonesia and Algeria against these countries' independence. 1972, Kiruku, who was a security guard to President Hubert Maga, the first president of the Republic of Benin, carried a coup against the president after he attended French military school from 1968 to 1970. In fact, during the last 50 years, a total of 67 coups happened in 26 countries in Africa. 16 of those countries are French ex-colonies, which means 61% of the coups happen in Francophone Africa. Those are the French colonies. Let me read the countries right quick. Countries listed, Togo, Tunisia, Cote d'Ivoire, Madagascar, Rwanda, Algeria, Congo, Mali, Guinea, Congo, Burundi, Central Africa, Niger, Burkina Faso, Mauritania, Egypt, Libya, Guinea-Bissau, Liberia, Nigeria, Ethiopia, Uganda, and Sudan.
Check this out now. You've mentioned Central African Republic. Don't you know when France got the gave orders to America under George W. Bush to take out President Aristide, the first Democratic president, because he told France, the French president, you owe us $20 billion for slavery. His response was to take out Aristide. The Marines in uniform came to Aristide's presidential mansion, took him out at gunpoint with his family, put them on a plane, and was in the air for over 11 hours, and he was not even allowed to raise the shades until they could find a country that would take in Aristide. The country that took in Aristide was the Central African Republic, which had, before it came there, over 11 coups. So, you see, when you hear the litany of stuff that France did to Africa, and it's still doing to Africa, and the Organization of African Unity is just a big name but can't do nothing to stop the atrocities going on in Africa. The United Nations, I maintain, is nothing but an international playboys club. The best of cocaine and women is connected with the United Nations. And
now,
America,
France,
has such
a you know, they have bases all throughout Africa. They have a base in Djibouti.
Right.
They have a base over in Chad and Niger and Mali, Senegal, Cote d'Ivory, Guinea, Gabon, and Central Africa.
See?
France has bases. And the base means military, okay?
Military.
So you're all over there.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Candy.
They're not coming, they're not there, the military, to play cards or to have patty cake games.
Right.
Or the jump rope. Or the jump rope.
Mm-hmm.
They are there to subvert and to keep people in captivity.
Right.
Even in this hemisphere.
And extracting, and constantly extracting the resources. They're extracting the resources from these lands. They're not over there trying to, oh, we're going to help feed y'all, or we're going to help this, and peace that. And all of those, speaking of peace, all of those so-called Peace Corps people that they send over there, we keep hearing about how these Peace Corps, so-called Peace Corps people, are raping these young African children.
That's right.
So when you get bombs and simultaneous attacks on you, I have no sympathy. I have no sympathy.
Thank you.
I'm sorry that maybe some innocent people were killed because of what their country has done. But look at all of those innocent people that are being attacked. Why do you have all those bases in Africa like that?
Yeah, and who gives a damn about the innocent African civilians that are raped, mutilated, and starved to death? I mean, I always maintain, why should there be starvation in Africa when Africa can feed the world?
And it does feed the world.
When the leaders come over here to profile and pontificate at the United Nations and the so-called dealing with the issue of world peace and all that stuff, they come here dressed very well and look at their fit. They fit very well. You know, and see, innocent people are killed in Africa, Latin America. You got, what was that country, that island, that's a French colony still in the Caribbean? The Wretched of the Earth author wrote the book and was talking about the situation in his country. It's a French colony still in the West.
You're talking about France Fanon.
Yes.
And he wrote...
Was it Guadalupe? It's some French country that is still under the rule of the French. And I wish I knew what country. Maybe you might can help me out. But I mean, they have, France has no conscience. And they are barbaric. And they brutalize anyone that dare. See, they don't want to have another Haiti. The Haitian people are still fighting for recognition, and they have not given up desire to have self-determination. That's why when they had the so-called earthquake, you can Google down HAARP, H-A-A-R-P. It's a mechanism that can alter the weather pattern. Only Russia and America has that mechanism. Haiti is a unique nation. It shares an island with an artificial country called Dominican Republic. And no one is dealing with the fact that all this time, the Haitian people have suffered an atrocity after atrocity with America as proxy for France. They first boarded the Marines. They did for 30 years, killing tens of thousands of Haitians, including the revolutionary fighters. They took over their land. FDR rewrote the Constitution. And to this day, people understand that, well, how you have the sharing of a nation with the Dominican Republic, and you had this such devastating earthquake, and Dominican Republic didn't even suffer a teacup falling from their cupboard in Dominican Republic. Now, in Mexico, if there's an earthquake in Mexico, it's felt beyond San Diego, California. That's two different continents. Okay? So you're telling me that Dominican Republic suffered no loss, that the Haitian people suffered tens of thousands killed in Haiti, and not one teacup fell off the cupboard in Dominican Republic. I mean, when are we going to wake up to know that black people, wherever we are, had better understand when Marcus Garvey talked about Pan-Africanism, my dear master teacher, Dr. John Henry Clark, said, before he joined the answer, he said, Pan-Africanism, or we're going to perish. The mainstream media is browbeating us to have sympathy for what happened in Paris. Yes, it was a horrible thing, but who talks about the horrors that France is doing in Africa, in the Caribbean, and have no desire to, as I say, church, give up the evil ways and come on the Lord's side? No, hell to the no. France ain't doing it. I think we better realize that there's going to be more and more of this crisis, because ISIL is an idea. You cannot kill an idea. You might kill thousands of people for revenge. You know, the white man always wants to get revenge when he feels that he's been wrong, but he don't want to deal with the cause effect. There is a thing called the blowback. There's a thing called retribution. You know, when do America realize that the Zionists care nothing about democracy? They only care about their selfish agenda, which is ruthless, unrelenting, and fanatical. And France is supportive of this policy.
Can I say something, Canty?
Go ahead.
Can I ask
how
you a
doing?
Question?
How you doing?
All right, sure. How you doing? I want to ask a question. Like ISIS, ain't they trying to, now this is my theory.
Yeah.
Ain't they trying to kill us, to make us the believe the way they believe? Ain't that what it's all about? If you don't believe what I believe, I'm going to kill you.
Well, you said when you kill us, who you mean? White people, black people, or
anybody? They killing whoever don't believe the way they believe.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, it may be ruthless, fanatical. See, when you drive people, it's becoming ruthless, fanatical, and insane. It's at the root cause of it that for all those years, these people were oppressed. And still are oppressed. Look at the killing. You know how many Arab people have been killed ruthlessly because America wants to appease Israel? Over 35 million. And these people don't forget what America did to in Iran. The Iranian people was happy with their newly elected leader named Mossadegh. Because Mossadegh was seeing how his oil being sucked out of the ground in his country, Iran.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
I want to just say something really quick in response to the question that Mother Dunham posed. About possibly being afraid of ISIS and what they may try to ISIL and what they may try to condition us to believe. First of all, America loves to practice fear mongering.
Hello.
They keep you in fear, right? They keep you in fear so that they can justify why we need police monitoring us. Why we need resource officers in classrooms. Oh, because if we don't, then the children, they're going to jump up and they're going to beat up the teachers. If we don't have all of this military, then how are we going to protect ourselves? Well, if you leave people alone, then you pretty much won't have to worry about nobody messing with you. But see, America Hello. Goes all around the world creating all these killings and these hates. America has, not trying to sound like I hate America or anything. I'm just speaking about the facts. I mean, we got to look at it. We just spoke about all the different bases that France has in France.
Yes. Yes.
In America, even over there, I think it's in Okinawa, Japan, those people been over there rebelling for a few years now because they said they want that darn base out of their country. People are tired of America setting up camps in different places and then killing everybody and then want to come back over here and get on our news and talk about the terrorists this and the terrorists that. That's all fear-mongering because they want us to sit here and be fearful and think that other people are attacking us. But America, they did the damn number one attack when they came over here off them boats and started attacking Native Americans and the people that were living here. So to call other people terrorists,
they came over here, that's insane. They came over here victims of a shipwreck. The Native Americans gave them turkey. I said, gave them turkey to calm them down. Turkey is a meat that was known to calm you down, make you get very sleepy. These fish eating turkey, and what happened was, so they'd be hitting so many Native Americans. Now, the original slave football was kicking around the heads of Native American men, women, and children, especially the men. And that we must understand that there is an African command called AFRICOM, headed by an American general, and their mission is to put down any militant African that is for desirous of defending the land and the people. Now, between what the French is doing in Africa and what America is doing in Africa, and you can't leave up England. England is a role player also. So when they say put the fear about ISIS, who told you that? The white man.
But listen at this, though. Can I say this?
Yeah.
See, and that's why I love our show so much, because we all have different opinions.
Uh-huh.
But now, I'm saying on the TV, when they have ISIL on their talking, and not even on TV, you go on Facebook when they recruiting people. The women are not allowed to speak. Women are not allowed to say anything. They will behead their women. They will kill their women. And who will want to live on a dictatorship like that? They don't even value a woman's life. Not at
all. Well, you know what? Here in America, they don't value a woman's life either, Mother Dunham, because women get paid less than men over here. So I mean, it's just as bad. I don't get into one saying greater than the other. It's all bad. I mean, if we're over here doing the same thing.
Have you noticed these women that have been coming up dead in their jail cells? Not only will they murder you here in America as a black woman, they will also incarcerate you at an alarming rate. Just put you in the jail, and that's kind of it.
And while you're in jail,
different way of looking at it and doing it. They're doing the same thing here.
And for a number of years, let me just say this real quick, Kent, and I'm gonna go back to you if you don't mind. And for a number of years, remember, a woman couldn't even claim that her husband raped her. That was no such thing as your husband raping you. So, I mean,
and let me share this.
This country not clean on a woman's record, on women's record. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they're going to rape you when you get to the jail. But let me tell you what Ernie, he's a legislator out of Omaha, and he says, my ISIS is the police.
Thank you.
He says, during the Judiciary Committee hearing in allowing guns in bars, Arnie Chambers said, as part of the conversation, that my ISIS is the police. Chambers said his comments were intended to criticize the failure to prosecute Alvin Luggett, an Omaha police officer who had fatally shot Danny Elrod on February 23rd. Although fellow senators did not react to his comments during the hearing, there was backlash. Omaha Police Chief Todd Schamanderer responded to Ernie Chambers. The comments that Senator Ernie Chambers made today at the Nebraska unicameral are not only reprehensible, but are completely without merit. Mayor Jean Starthart also criticized Chambers, saying in a press release that he should be looking for ways to improve public safety instead of comparing police officers to terrorists. Well, what do these crazy European fools think that they're doing? Do they think we're supposed to be happy about them murdering these women and men and children all over this nation?
You see,
this man said it so clearly. Ernie Chambers got it right, for as I'm concerned.
God bless him. See, what we're dealing with is a man that is a sociopath and a psychopath. And
They're psychopaths.
And a sociopath. And they're not playing with the straight dick. And
that's right.
They have the media to browbeat you. It's like Malcolm X said, what's the matter, boss? We sick, boss?
We sick. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the sociopath running around here with the power? That's why things are a mess.
And you have a police officer knowing that he can get away with murder. Listen, a man was shot in cold blood by an undercover cop, unbeknown to the victim. His name was Shim Walker, right down the block from where I live. His mother owns a tenement building, and she's an amputee. Shim would drive down faithfully from Connecticut to check on his mom's because drug dealers was so bold and brazen, was using her stoop to deal drugs. So he would drive down faithfully from Connecticut to check on his mom's and to keep drug dealers from selling drugs on his mother's stoop. Well, on his fateful early Saturday night, he seen this young man sitting on his mother's stoop, told the young man, so he thought was a drug dealer, get off my mother's stoop. I don't allow drug dealers on my mother's stoop. Said it three times. Now, the cop didn't want to show his shield. He could have just walked away. He heard the man say, get off my mother's stoop. The man, Shim Walker, that he was a wise guy, wanted a demo. Let Shim, so he thought Shim thinking it was a drug dealer. He wanted a demo. Shim tried to remove, so he thought the drug dealer. The cop pulled out his gun, shot Shim at point blank range in his chest, killing him instantly. Guess who preached the eulogy? I was there, so I know where I speak. Guess who preached the eulogy? Sharpton. Guess who's sitting behind Sharpton? His running partner in this industry to get going, the dick body that they chose to pick which one they're going to deal with the case. Sanford Rubenstein. And nothing came out of that case. There has been no cry from right down the block from, excuse me, right across from me is a woman named Tish James. She wants to become the next mayor of New York City. She wants to put the incumbent mayor out of office after one term. Unless this mayor is that great, but what the ones who's trying to get his job, they're no better. And this man here, Shim Walker, died for nothing. There was no outcry from Tish James about the innocent killing of this man who's unarmed, but just wanted to get so a drug dealer off his mother's stoop. But don't you know that cop was ever indicted? We don't know who that cop, because we don't know his name. This woman, Tish James, knew his name. She never held a press conference. That cop got an award for committing cold-blooded murder. That cop is a sergeant at the same precinct that he came out of, right around the corner from right down the block from where I live. And this is right in a community that is increasingly becoming gentrified. White folks walk around here as if you are some kind of invisible person. And a white woman will cross the street and see you coming. They will cross the street on the other side of the street to fearful that you're going to rape them. And they're coming into Brooklyn because they cannot afford any longer to live in Manhattan. So, look, we're dealing with sociopath and psychopath.
That's
and,
true. They're sick.
Because these black leaders that are, which I would call the incompetent, impotent, and clueless, therefore rendering them useless. So, and This is right here in this hemisphere. And that French colony, I was trying to think of, it's called Martinique.
Mm-hmm.
That's where French and Martinique.
Also,
Martinique.
I wanted to say one more thing, Candy. I don't mean to interrupt you before I
turn. That's okay, okay.
And Sheer was saying tonight, where are the leaders? You know, like, who are the black leaders? And I also want to say that, he just left my thought. Louis Farrakhan was on Facebook, and that's why I see him at a lot on Facebook. And he said, I guess he feel like he's the new up-and-coming black leader to speak for everybody, because he said, if you go and look on Facebook, Louis Farrakhan said, everybody is running and seeking him out now to get him to come and speak at different things that's going on. So he said people are reaching out and begging him to come to them. He said where there was a time that people used to will run from him, he said now people are running to him. So
here's the problem. Here's the problem with Farrakhan. Dr. Henry Clark was one of my mentors, called him a shrewd manipulator, a racketeer, and he's a bewilderer. That man has been living in an all-white community for all these years. All these years, and that's the white folks, he lives in an all-white community. Okay? Then he has no desire to deal with the fact that how are we going to have racial unity when you take the people's money and cannot account for what happened to the money that was raised from the first Million Man's March? Okay, there's no account of it. Weapon to the money. And then you're dealing with white supremacy is our enemy, and Zionism as well. You're dealing with apartheid. You can't attack the enemy and then live amongst them. This is just hypocrisy. And it's going from the sublime to the ridiculous. Our leadership has been found wanting. You can see how they're going to be lapping the idea of running after Hillary. We're still looking for.
Let me say this too. Now, when another thing, when you see these different attacks like this that come up, what I always do, you know, after you get through watching your CNN and your MSNBC and Facebook mm-hmm. and Twitter, go on YouTube and just type it in, like this Paris attack. I've typed it in since I've been sitting here tonight. We have mm-hmm. a slew of people that are already breaking it down, explaining how this is another false flag. It's a hoax. They do these different attacks and things like this because these people, these sadistic people, plan this stuff. If you see this attack, then it does. Oh, my God, I'm fearful. Yes. I want them to have more money for the defense budget, for the DOD, so that they can buy some more bombs and buy some more weaponry. And then all of that weaponry, like people were complaining about 2 years ago, all the excess of surplus weaponry, these tanks and machine guns and all of this stuff, they filter all of that stuff right back into the same Ferguson-like neighborhood to attack us. So this is the ripple effect of all of this. So they create all of this fear in people. But if you go on YouTube, I would highly suggest that.
There's a name on YouTube that I think his name should come up. His name is Ralph Schoenemann and his wife, Maya Sloan. It was called Taking Aim. That was at the website of takingaimradio.com. I'm sure you can find Ralph Schoenemann speaking on YouTube. But listen, Farrakhan has black people in an emotional web, and we don't want to think about the authenticity of the leadership of Farrakhan, people like Farrakhan. Dr. John Henry Clark, by the grace of God, was able to die of natural causes, but had he been a victim of an assassination attempt or carried out an assassination, I wouldn't have been surprised. But because he didn't have a large following, Dr. Clark was able to die of natural causes. Sharpton has been demoted. he has been exposed for what he always was, a ruthless spy for the enemy. And he had an industry going with this white lawyer named Stanford Rubenstein until Rubenstein got in trouble for raping one of Sharpton's executive member of his board. And Sharpton never tried, demanded that justice be done. They found in Rubenstein's apartment a bottle of Viagra. Guess whose name is on the bottle? Sharpton's name. Okay? We're dealing with devious, bewildering leaders. A man like Arthur Maddox, who I dare say is a man that is a miracle. He's still with us. But when he speaks, he is very much speaking on behalf of those who have no voice. And he has still stood with his client, Tawana Brawley.
I can see him being a leader, definitely, more so than Sharpton. Can't I want to play this brief little clip that's speaking about the Paris attacks being a false flag?
Guess what? It hasn't even been 48 hours since these attacks occurred in Paris, with over 120 people being killed, many more being injured. Yeah, not much time has gone by, and there's already evidence which goes on to suggest that this was indeed a false flag event. Now, in the case of what has gone on in Paris, we already have ISIS claiming responsibility. The authorities in France have gone on to basically confirm this as well. And, well, that right off the bat tells you it's a false flag, because right here, and this came out a few months ago, as reported on by Zero Hedge, secret Pentagon report reveals the U.S. created ISIS as a tool to overthrow Syria's President Assad. All right, and there's plenty of more evidence which goes on to suggest the same thing, okay? NATO, the West, they created ISIS as a mercenary group to do their dirty work in the Middle East. I'm just using this one example here to prove what I'm saying, but you can research this, and there's so much evidence which goes on to support this claim. Getting that out of the way. So let's just disregard this for the sake of argument. Let's pretend that ISIS is not a Western-sponsored mercenary group. Let's just pretend, that's not the case. And let's check this out. What's this? Oh, this is an interview with Patrick Pelot. He's an EMT. And he was even the chronicler at Charlie Hebdo as well. And this guy went on radio, like, on the same day these attacks occurred, conducted an interview in which he stated that the Paris SAMU, that's the EMT unit in Paris, were conducting a multi-site attack exercise at the very same time this real attack occurred. And this multi-site exercise not only involved the EMTs, but also police forces and firemen as well. Wow. Wow, that's quite a coincidence there. That's quite a coincidence, if I might say so myself. And if you look at the history of false flag events, there's always a drill running at the same exact time for the same exact scenario. You look at 9/11. You look at the 7/7 bombing in London in 2002. We had the same exact thing. Drills being conducted at the same exact time for the same exact scenario. Okay? And these are confirmed false flags as well. I mean, 9/11, is it really even a debate anymore? Really? I mean, Building 7 falling at free fall speed? Homogeneously just crumbling to the ground, not even touched by a plane or any kind of debris? Yeah, right. Controlled demolition, obviously. False flag event. And it looks the same here with these drills being conducted at the same exact time in Paris on Friday the 13th, 2015. So, you got all that going on. Now, check this out as well. This struck me as extremely odd. The CIA director met with the French security chief just weeks before these Paris attacks. And you know what this meeting was in regards to? Homeland security in France. Yeah. I mean, how often does this go on, really? I find this coincidental, beyond coincidental. It's very suspicious. So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't end. Check this out, too. I found this really interesting. Did you know that the owners of the Bataclan, where most of this attack in Paris occurred, I think about 80 to 100 people died at the Bataclan. Did you know that the owners of this place were Zionists and they sold the theater just 2 weeks before? Okay? And by the way, this is after 40 years of supposedly owning the place? Ah, now let's think. Let's think. Do you really believe that the Bataclan would get any more business after these attacks? Do you think it's even going to remain open? I think they'll probably turn it into some sort of memorial, right? There is no way that place will make any more money. So it only makes sense that if you had prior knowledge, you would sell it, right? You would put it on the market and get rid of it. So I'm not saying that's definitely the case here. It just looks suspicious. Yeah, any more information on this, please drop it in the comment section below or message me on Twitter or Facebook. We need to bust this false flag. We need to really send it to Saturn because obviously this situation right now.
Okay, so I'll just cut.
Wow.
Devastating.
Yeah, there are numerous people that have all of these postings, all of these YouTube videos, just breaking it down.
It don't get any clearer than that.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing why I say we can't sit here and believe everything they tell us on CNN and MSNBC.
You don't have to tell
about
me
some
the
terrorists. Mm-hmm. Exactly, all of this stuff. And like you said, he's not the only one that has researched ISIL. They were created, just like Saddam Hussein, when America got ready to go and kill Saddam Hussein. Well, you trained him. You trained him, and then when he didn't want to go along with your get along, then you want to go and hang this man on public TV.
The CIA gave Saddam Hussein satellite photos where to bomb in Iraq. CIA created a civil war between Iran and Iraq. This government wanted to punish the Iranian people for daring to free themselves of the Shah that was imposed on them after this government didn't assassinate their beloved Democratic leader named Mossadegh. He was overthrown. Now, Saddam Hussein was a young man that was head of the Baath Party, a very ultra-right-wing party, and was anti-communist. The CIA gave him ammunition and guns and chemicals within 3 months' time. 5,000 progressive Iraqis was either killed or destroyed with acid. And our people are so gullible. Like Rich Pryor once said years ago, may he rest in peace, he said, white man said so, it must be so.
It must be so.
We take the assassination of, listen, how many times have the American people was asked, do you believe the official version of the assassination of JFK? How many times the answer was a resounding no? Okay, so now black people, let the government kill Dr. King, kill Malcolm X. I believe the government was involved with the poisoning of Adam Clayton Powell Jr., Kwame Ture, formerly known as Stokely Carmichael. All these strong black leaders
Don't forget Arafat. When Arafat, didn't Arafat go to France to receive his treatment? And next thing you know, he's sitting up dead. You see what I'm saying? So that's why you can't believe everything these people say about who's the terrorist. They're always pointing the people and pointing the finger at different countries and people and saying that they're the terrorists only because they won't go along and allow them to suck their land dry. Then they call them a terrorist. Well, I guess you call them a terrorist because they're not bound down to what you want. It's just like when they call the Native Americans savages because the Native Americans were trying to defend themselves and their land. So now they're savages. You know,
You gotta stop
sitting here believing everything that these people say and who they deem as terrorists. Because any time when 9/11 happened, and then after so many people came out and exposed 9/11 for what it really was,
false flag
to lead us into all of these wars and all of this nonsense, and then now it's illegal. Do you know now it's illegal for you to even come up and try to say anything about 9/11 being a false flag? They have the right to arrest you.
You can't
have a lawyer. You can't have a lawyer. None of that stuff. Yeah. All of your rights are taken away. So anytime somebody puts that kind of pressure on you, then that ought to make you stop and think and say, well, yeah, it's something not right.
Lest we forget the New American Century. They had set in attending that meeting was Pearl, Wolfowitz, Dick Cheney, Cutter Sleazy, we call Cutter Sleazy, and Jeb Bush. And this meeting said, in order to have the American people support this in these endless wars, they would have to have suffered, check that out, y'all. They would have to have suffered a Pearl Harbor type attack on these shores. Hello? Okay?
Yeah.
So now, when 9-1-1 happened, there were buildings that went down, like you said earlier, the buildings went down. There was a building that went down that was not even hit by a plane. The steel that was used to build the towers was abruptly taken away, and guess where it went to? China. The crime scene was tampered with prematurely, so we have no evidence about the fact that there was chemicals on that steel that was rendering the fact that it was controlled demolition. Okay. So all this time now, our people taking the white man's word that this is truly so about what happened in Paris. And I always heard from Dr. Short. I'm sorry he's not with us right now on the air with us, but he even said that between Israel and this government, that jet plane was a hit that killed over 20 people. It's a false flag that the jet plane. Now we don't hear no more talk about that jet plane, do we? No more talk about that jet plane. And like we're dealing with sinister forces of evil that is so psychotic, and that evil media ran by well-to-do racists that black people don't have no other choice but to believe that if he says so, then it must be so. You can't question nothing.
Yeah, and we have to question this. And we only have like about 60 seconds left, and I just want to say to everyone, don't believe everything these people put on the news, because they
Thank
put
you.
Stuff out here that they want to get us riled up about. Notice how they don't talk about, it's not on the news about, for instance, the case about the little girl that Dale convinced you were talking about. That's not on the news. Okay, and these people weren't even going to talk about this Mizzou, everything that was going on there until it really took wings on social media. And it was trending so that it had to become a news story. So these people will talk about what they want to talk about because they are controlled. Candace says that every time when we're on air, these are highly paid stenographers. They don't go out and research news and find stories and interview people like they used to do back in the day. They don't do that. They're fed a story to push, and that's what they do. They push these stories on us. They try to bring out this fear in us and all of this so that we can believe something about ISIL attacking us and all this craziness. Ain't no ISIL doing nothing. These people running around here creating all of these terrorist groups and all of that just to keep us in fear. I don't believe none of that crap. I'm not fearful of no ISIL because ISIL ain't messing with us black folks. It's the cops. It's these people
that
don't want to give people health care. Yeah, they don't want to. I think it's horrible that we live in this humongous, supposed to be free country, and we can't even have free health care. That's a terror attack. So those are the kind of attacks that we need to be worried about, and not ISIL. ISIL is not getting ready to come to Gulfport, Mississippi, nor Houston, nor New York, nor Minnesota, and mess with none of y'all, because we ain't doing nothing to ISIL.
And we saw the weaponry they have in store for us when the police in Ferguson came out too soon in their weaponry. And we got a full picture of what they have in store for us.
Yes. Well, all right. We're going to go ahead and close it out. This was a good show.
I don't think it came up
with not one name for a black leader other than Alton Maddox. They just keep trying to destroy him and put Reverend Seasoning in jail and anybody else to try to help us. So you just look around and you just see. Farrakhan, he talk a good game, but a lot of that stuff that Farrakhan talking, like everybody said, where is the money? Show me the money.
And trust me, living with white folks all these years, what are you other than a bewilderer and a hypocrite?
Yeah. Now, I applaud Farrakhan for bringing together the Million Man March and all of that. But, you know, like a lot of brothers I talked to, they said he could have said all that on a webcast instead of having everybody spend all of that money and coming there. We could have taken that money and built some grocery stores in some communities.
That's what could have happened with all the money that everybody was trying to come to D.C. to hear him get the same speech that he always hears on the Breakfast Club or anywhere else in the mosque on Sunday and all of that. So he could have had everybody save their money, and everybody in those cities that wanted to come could have put all that money towards building grocery stores in the community so that there would not be any food deserts, and we would have nutrition and nutritious food so that we can think and protect ourselves. That's what we need.